stand, I live by. Watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible. Don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends. Gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody, welcome back into the show. This is the second hour here on this terrific Tuesday, August 26th edition. Greatly appreciate you guys being part of the show today. As usual, Ian Murphy from the Iron Pig Smokehouses over in Gaylord is on the line with us. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Trucker Randy.
Hey, buddy, I got a couple of people texting me this morning in the first hour talking about a planning commission meeting that took place last night in Conway Township, Livingston County. And this company, kind of ironic, Power Rangers, I guess is the name of this company. I think they think it's a toy, a joke now is why they're doing it. But federal dollars still dangling the carrot in front of them, and they're trying to get one of these solar projects down there in Livingston County. Greg from that area texted me this morning, and he says, you know, what can we do to fight this? And I said, well, we'll have Ian on and find out if there's any updates, number one, in his case, but number two, the process. And I tried to explain it like you've explained it. You want them to approve it. You want the Planning Commission, the Zoning Commission to approve it locally. And so then you and your attorney, David Delaney, can be hired by these people downstate or wherever it's occurring and be able to file a boilerplate lawsuit that he's already perfected in so many other places. Is that, number one, an accurate statement? And number two, how is the status of the cases? Any changes with Judge Hunter?
It is a pretty accurate statement. What we're finding out now that we have multiple cases in multiple jurisdictions around the state, we're looking into Ottawa County right now. There's two developments within Ottawa County and two separate townships. And what we're finding out now is the majority of the townships and or counties, whoever handles your zoning, right up here, we're a little bit more rural, so it's the county that has the planning commission. Downstate, where it's a little more populous, it's the townships have planning commissions. So it depends on if it's the township or if it's the county that actually handles the planning and or zoning. So what we're finding out is there's a bit, I mean, obviously there's confusion, right? Part of that confusion is whether or not the planning commissions have this compatible renewable energy ordinance, the CREO that I'm always talking about. And this is part of the reason why Public Act 233 wasn't enacted as soon as it was signed. So it was signed by the governor, in 2023. But in the bill, they lagged a year to give planning commissions around the state the opportunity to adopt these CREOs, as they're called. Well, not very many zoning boards created a CREO. And if they did, they did so incorrectly, as we're finding out in Sheboygan County after they passed 2-3 weeks ago now an application for the Northern Water Park Solar, whatever they're calling it up there in Sheboygan County, Grant
right,
Township.
Yep.
They have a CREO, and their attorney went way out of their way to explain all the points of the CREO. But what they actually did is they went beyond the five standards that the state has set. Unknowingly, they created kind of jurisdictions in the townships that can and cannot have solar developments on them. And wouldn't you know, there's a watershed area in Grant Township that just happens to be allowable for a solar development. So that is going to be an issue up there. So everywhere that we're finding these are popping up, there's discrepancies between whether they have one or they don't. So that's the first big step that we're coming into.
Got it. We're going to continue the conversation with Ian Murphy over at the Iron Pig in Gaylord. Short break, word from our other sponsors. We'll be right back.
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Everybody remembers their moment, the moment Granddad handed down his old rifle. At Curtis Gunsmithing in Petoskey, we respect traditions. We also know that that old gun might not be in the same shape it was when Granddad gave it to you. Mr. Tom Curtis, the gun doctor, will take good care of old Betsy. He'll get her shined up and looking good as new. Curtis Gunsmithing is the one that you can trust with your family traditions. Give us a call at 231-838-5571. And as the gun doctor says, anything but an Abrams tank.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy, a MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Life is a wonderful journey, from fresh beginnings and future adventures to all the best life has to offer. Along this incredible journey, you want to safeguard what's most important to you. Hi, I'm Tristan Cole, your local Farm Bureau insurance agent, and I'm always nearby to help protect you and your loved ones along the way. Let's talk about your journey and protecting what matters most. Call me at 231-533-6489 or visit me online at TristanCole.com. We're Farm Bureau Insurance, Michigan's insurance company.
For all you folks out there that own firearms, are looking to buy a new or used gun, or fix up that old piece at a good price, there's Curtis Gunsmithing. Not too far off the beaten path at 9996 Picker Lake Road in Petoskey, Mr. Tom Curtis is an AGI-certified gunsmith and firearm connoisseur. Don't send your gun out or travel far away for your specialized gun work. You have a friend in your own backyard. Call Curtis Gunsmithing today, 231-347-3487.
There's a reason for the sunshine sky, and there's a reason why I'm feeling so high. Must be the season when that love light shines all around us. So let that feeling.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. Staying on through the break is Ian Murphy over at the Iron Pig Smokehouses in Gaylord. So basically, a text message coming in from Greg downstate. How much money does he need to raise to be able to retain David Delaney if and when Conway Township approves this these Power Rangers plan there in his community. Ian, is he available, and is that something he could do for the folks down there in Livingston County?
I'm sure he is available, and I'm sure that is something that he is interested in. We just spoke last night. I've been in contact with Joe Moss and the Ottawa Impact folks down there in Ottawa County, and it sounds like that's going to be added into his itinerary as well. So, I mean, that's the whole point of why we're doing this, is so we can get a game plan out there. And the first part of figuring out that the game plan is whether or not your local unit of government, whether that's your county planning commission or your township planning commission, people need to figure out if your organization, your local unit of government, has a CREO or has an old ordinance, solar ordinance like we had here in Otsego County from 2021, which is what they passed this application on, which is what allowed us to take them to court. It was passed here locally. And again, like you said earlier, that's one thing that we are definitely encouraging people to do, is even if they don't want these developments, regardless if they have a CREO or not, get them passed locally, because then you can at least challenge them in local court versus going to the court of claims, which is the government's court.
Yeah, absolutely. And the other process to that is done outside your local jurisdiction. So as concerned citizens, if and when they ever have a hearing, you end up having to go downstate somewhere to another state court, which, like you said, these are all packed with liberal progressive judges. You're not going to get what you would hope would be a fair local judge that's elected by local people here in our local communities.
Precisely. And that's how the Founding Fathers intended it, right? Local representation. It's one of those things that it's such a shining example of a terrible written law. And this is what happens. It's creating judicial conflict all over the state. Now, with our case, we do have a hearing next week, basically asking Judge Hunter why he believes that Public Act 233 has no relevance on this industrial solar plant application here in Otsego County. Because if true, then that basically means that Public Act 233 does not need to be used, and these local units of government can create any sort of renewable energy ordinance that they want, putting in all kinds of stipulations. You could put in a $10 million bond if you wanted to. You could put in a $50 million remediation bond if you wanted to. You can make these things so cost prohibitive that these developers won't even want to come in and even offer landowners lease monies. To me, in my opinion, that's how we do it, besides going after the law that is enabling all of this fraud to happen. Because let's be honest, that's really what this is. The money that's coming down from the EPA, or was, all the way, the state, you know, Whitmer's agenda, the 2040 Green Plan, all this nonsense, it's fraud. It really is. Anybody that believes that this state, or any state for that matter, can go to simply wind and solar energy and actually be a productive state that people are going to want to move and do business in, you've got to be out of your mind. And I would like to actually sit down and have a conversation with an adult that actually thinks that that's something that's possible.
Well, the point of the matter is, this process, as you say, because of the poorly written law, Public Act 233, this is why you guys are having to challenge these in court to try to bring this to a head, to see if this Public Act 233 can be found unconstitutional. Is that ultimately the game plan?
100%. Absolutely. And it's the same sort of approach that we took during the pandemic with the health law. The difference being is 1978's legislature wrote a terrible health law that, fortunately for Michigan, really wasn't used or enforced in any way the way that it was during 2020 through 2022. So the way that they abused that law, in turn, caused it to become unconstitutional, because they were using it in a way it was never intended to. Now we have a law that was intended to create 100% renewable energy sources by 2040, and it completely removes the local control, because they know, the Dems in the legislature knew when they wrote this bill, in order to get 100% clean, quote, clean energy by 2040, they were going to have to remove the local control, because they knew the locals don't want these things in their backyard, especially up north here. Now, I've heard plenty of conversations about, we'll put them on car parks, put them on top of buildings, put them in urban areas. I'm actually against that too. Small scale, that's fine. On your business, okay, great. But at large scale, imagine a hailstorm in the city breaks open these solar panels and they leach not into the ground, but onto the pavement and into the wastewater system. That is actually going to spread even quicker than it would if it were to leach into farmland up here in northern Michigan. So the idea that these solar panels should only go on car parks and large scales in urban areas is a myth as well. So to me, it just should be residential only.
Well, the problem is, because of my background in dealing with wetlands and underground water aquifers, some of these underground water aquifers, Ian, are absolutely huge. If you go down to southeastern Michigan, the Clinton River underground water aquifer, that covers most of Wayne, Oakland, and Macomb counties. And for people who rely on well water, which I grew up on well water in Shelby Township, we had well water until, I think, 10 years after I graduated high school, finally did they bring city water through. This contamination of these solar panels leaking these products, these chemicals, these elements into the ground, it goes into the underground water aquifer. That could affect wells everywhere, ultimately affecting people's drinking water.
100%. And the thing that just blows my mind about all of this is Michigan is one of the most beautiful states in the union. We are literally surrounded by water. And we have people in this state that firmly believe the best way forward is to basically put poisonous solar panels on roughly 1 million acres across the state. It's mind-boggling to me that environmentalists, so-called environmentalists, think that this is a good path forward when there are so many better alternatives. That's the part that just, I just can't, these people are just not logical to me whatsoever. But again, most of these people that are pushing this agenda are the folks that have just destroyed this state in the last 5 to 8 years through their nonsense policies, exactly like this. Energy is so expensive. Education is in the toilet. Our taxes are high. This is just another thing that has come down from the leadership from the Democrat Party. And here we are cleaning up another mess. And if we're successful, then we will completely remove Public Act 233 and allow the locals to have control of their zoning specifically for solar, wind, and battery.
Now, I have a question about Public Act 233. Is this the public act that was deemed on the legislative schedule when they voted on it? Is this the Clean Energy Act of 2040?
I believe that is correct.
Okay, because that is not only the mandate that we have to produce all of our electric power by 2040 by renewable energy sources, but I believe it was the process in which permits for these projects were to be permitted, if not approved at the local level, they could bypass the local level and go directly to the Michigan Public Service Commission.
Correct. An unelected board.
By the governor.
Is now going to cite industrial solar and wind plants in your backyard. Somebody down in Lansing, 3 or 4 people you've never met, never heard of, never been to your community, don't know anything about Otsego County or Sheboygan County or Ottawa County, nothing whatsoever. They're going to make the decision about your property and your family's future without having any important information. That's really what people don't want. They just don't want unelected people making decisions over their day-to-day lives.
Absolutely. What's happening over at the Iron Pig?
Just winding down the summer, it seems like. School's kind of getting back into session. I think Gaylor goes back to school next week. Some of our schools have started this week. But we're kind of making that transition into, I hate to say it, but fall.
Yeah.
So we're starting to put together, you know, our fall festival in the pavilion. You know, we just bought a bunch of new decorations, so we're going to put up a Halloween festival towards the end of October. So yeah, really just kind of shifting gears from summer mode kind of to fall mode a little bit.
Excellent, excellent. Well, I still haven't been over yet to your brunch on Sunday. Explain that again, because I misunderstood what your format is and how you handle those brunches at the New South location. So explain that to the folks.
Yeah, so actually it's a great question, because this time of year, just after Labor Day, we usually do breakfast 7 days a week. So we're going back to weekends in the off season. So just Saturday and Sunday, we'll have breakfast after this next weekend. 8 a.m. is when we open for breakfast. Roughly around noontime on Saturday is when we end, but brunch runs till 2 o'clock on Sunday. So brunch, we have an entire breakfast menu, and then we also have Saturday and Sunday till 2 o'clock as well. We have a Bloody Mary bar where you can build your own Bloody Marys that run alongside breakfast as well. So we don't do a buffet or anything like that. It's straight off of our menu. 8 to noon Saturday and 8 to 2 p.m. on Sundays.
Very good. 8 to 2 on Sunday. Excellent, excellent. I wanted to tell you, too, a lot of people wanted more information. I told them to go to the website, ironpigsmoke.com, regarding the pavilion. Are we getting some events, some things happening, scheduling over there?
We are. So what we're doing is we're basically moving that. That is such a cool pavilion over there. We're getting so many requests for interesting things to do. So next year, actually, all summer long, we're going to run a farmer's market. We're going to run a vendor's market. This fall, we're going to be doing another vendor's market. That's really the way that property was intended to be used. Not just for amazing concerts, because the acoustics in there are crazy awesome. But yeah. I mean, here's an example. We had a local band just got a new sound system, and they said, "Man, we want a place that we can try and crank this thing up and practice a little bit. How about we come play the Iron Pig for free on September 11th, and maybe you guys create a fundraiser out of it?" So hey, what do you know? That's exactly what we're going to do. September 11th, we're going to have you don't really want to say party, because it sounds weird celebrating 9/11.
Sure.
But we are going to do a fundraiser on 9/11. Timberline, the band, is coming out and going to set up and play for free. So we'll have a free concert. We're going to figure out some way. We love our veterans. So most likely we'll create a fundraiser and donate some money back to our local veterans group on September 11th. So,
excellent.
I mean, yeah, we're just getting all kinds of crazy ideas, things to do. Like I said, a haunted pavilion's coming the end of October. So just any way that we can possibly turn that thing out is exactly what we're going to do.
Excellent. Again, just go to the website, ironpigsmoke.com. You can see all the information there. You can check out the new location, the food. You can order online, all kinds of stuff available. Greatly appreciated, Ian. Thank you so much. And I'm going to give out your phone number for folks downstate that are fighting these solar projects, if that's okay.
You got it. Shoot me a text. That works the best.
Okay, buddy. Thank you so much. We appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next Tuesday.
All right. Thanks, brother.
Bottom of the hour news break of hour number two. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan.